Welcome to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly. News, sports, and conversations that are important to Jackson County. This is the AM Jackson Podcast.
Local Jackson news now from the WKHM.com News Center.
Good morning. 5 minutes after the top of the hour. Reporting with WKHM News, I'm Mark Daly. Jackson Police Department is seeking help from the public in identifying a vehicle that was involved in a hit-and-run incident. Authorities say the hit-and-run occurred on West North Street near Lansing Avenue, and the subject who was struck by the vehicle was in a wheelchair. Jackson Police Department is asking for assistance with tracking down the vehicle to hold the driver accountable. Photograph of the vehicle in question has been made available at the City of Jackson My Police Department Facebook page. Anyone with information on the vehicle and or the incident is encouraged to contact Detective Gail Breath, 517-768-8769, 768-8769, or email mgailbreath@cityofjackson.org. Testimony continued Thursday in the murder trial of Dale Warner, charged in the death of his wife, Dee Warner. Medical examiner testified that Dee Warner's body was found sealed inside an ammonia fertilizer tank, where the chemical environment and lack of oxygen likely preserved her remains for years. Her body was discovered in August of 2024, more than 3 years after she was reported missing. Medical examiner ruled her death a homicide caused by strangulation and blunt force trauma to the head and face. Her body was found wrapped in tarps and secured with duct tape, with her arms and legs bound and tape covering her mouth and nose. Toxicology tests found no drugs in her system. Warner disappeared in April of 2021 from her home in Franklin Township near Tipton. The trial is continuing. 61 dogs have been seized from a home in Sheridan Township following an animal cruelty investigation. Calhoun County Sheriff's Office executed a search warrant Thursday morning at a residence in the 24,000 block of H Drive North, after deputies observed concerning living conditions. The investigation began a day earlier when authorities received a silent observer tip about the number of dogs at the property. After an initial visit, deputies sought and obtained a warrant. All 61 dogs were taken to the Calhoun County Animal Shelter. Animal cruelty charges are being sought and will be reviewed by the prosecutor's office. Battle Creek Police Animal Control and the County Animal Shelter assisted the investigation. Remains ongoing. A GoFundMe online fundraising account has been set up for a woman who was struck while crossing a crosswalk in downtown Hillsdale on Tuesday afternoon. Friends and family of Joni Norris say she was on her daily walk when she was struck by a pickup truck owned and operated by Hillsdale County. Hillsdale City Police were dispatched to the intersection of McCollum and Broad Streets in response to the crash. Michigan State Police were also dispatched to assist. Norris was transported to Hillsdale Hospital, then airlifted to a Toledo area hospital. The incident remains under investigation, with Michigan State Police saying they do not believe alcohol or drugs are factors. All other questions about the investigation are encouraged to be directed to the Hillsdale City Police Department. The GoFundMe account, which aims to help raise funds to offset medical bills, has already raised more than $7,000 as of Thursday evening. Norville Township leaders are taking steps to prepare for the possibility of a future data center project. The township board has voted to pursue a temporary moratorium followed by drafting regulations to govern data center developments. Officials say no application has been submitted, but they want to be proactive as more Michigan communities face proposals. Public hearing will be held before any zoning changes are approved. The moratorium could be in place within a couple of months, with a full ordinance taking up to a year. Other townships, including Henrietta Township, have recently approved similar regulations as data center projects move forward in other parts of the state. State Fiscal Agency is expecting a budget shortfall next year.
somewhere between $475 million and $518 million under the current models. But in her latest executive proposal, Democrat Governor Gretchen Whitmer wants to add $7 billion to the budget, paid for mostly by tax increases. It's why Republican House Speaker Matt Hall said they need to cut the current budget with the understanding that this year and next will have to adjust.
So the Democrats and Whitmer are proposing $800 million in tax increases. And the Republicans are saying, no, we're going to cut $800 million of waste, fraud, and abuse. Government is going to have to live within its means.
And we're still in the early stages, and there's time to come up with an agreement between House Republicans and Senate Democrats, and a budget needs to be signed by October 1st. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
House Republicans also looking at tax cuts in this upcoming budget,
both for property taxes and business taxes. House Speaker Matt Hall said cutting personal property taxes could lead to a boom in business and capital improvements, like what energy companies need to do in order to upgrade the grid. But Hall said in order to get the tax benefits, he proposes that they give us a break, too.
We're going to have to require the utilities to lower their rates. I would not go forward with eliminating the personal property tax without also mandating at least $1 billion rollback in our energy bills.
And Hall looks at this as a win-win, a more reliable grid and more affordable energy bill. And it's one of multiple areas House Republicans are looking for when it comes to potential tax cuts in this upcoming budget. Ryan Recker for the Michigan News Network.
Michigan Theater of Jackson Board of Directors held an unofficial meeting on Wednesday, and in attendance, many local leaders in Jackson, including John Waldron of Southern Michigan Bank and Trust, one of the theater's donors. John said that Southern Michigan Bank and Trust currently on pause for donations until questions are answered in the wake of Steve Tucker's removal as executive director.
There's just a lot of bad taste in the community's mouth, and it was not a board meeting, it was not an official meeting, and there were some upset donors. We were a donor. We try to support everything, but it was one of the larger checks that we write. I made a comment last night that we were on pause until we can get some things figured out.
It was clarified during the discussion that the removal of Steve Tucker did not come as a result of legal issues. John Waldron stated that he is not in support of the idea of boycotting the theater and said that one board member resigned on Wednesday.
I hope that the group listened. I mean, you asked me a question, I'm going to give you an answer. Right. There was a director there that stood up and he said, I resign. Last night, he was, I think, all of the drama and all the stuff, he'd had enough. I hope it does not take legal action. They just need to take a pause.
You can find our full conversation with John Waldron of Southern Michigan Bank and Trust on the February 19th episode of the AM Jackson podcast, wherever you get your podcasts, and at WKHM.com. The annual Jamie McKibben Daddy-Daughter Dance taking place today and tomorrow at the American One Event Center for the registered daddies and daughters. Andrew Sargent from the City of Jackson Parks and Rec said that the decision to name the event in Jamie McKibben's honor was an easy one to make following his passing to recognize his long time involvement with the dance.
You know, after, you know, he passed, I just went to Kelly and I just said, hey, we need to honor Jamie and everything he's meant for our daddy-daughter dance, but more importantly, everything he's done for this community. And I said, we're going to name it to the Jamie McKibben, you know, annual daddy-daughter dance. And she was definitely on board. You know, she had known Jamie for that long. And I've been with the city 24 years. It was a great way to honor him, since he was associated with for so long, and you know, we appreciated everything he did, and so that's where we're at. We're at the Jamie McKibben Daddy Daughter Dance.
Weekend is sure to help create amazing lifetime memories for the fathers and daughters in attendance, as Andrew said it did in his own experience with the event.
I got to attend it with my own daughter, and so we would go out to dinner, we would get dressed up, and then we would just let loose for two hours, just to have an evening to ourselves. And you know, there's two chocolate fountains, there's a DJ that comes and plays music for 2 hours. Gene Davis does all the snacks. Designs by Judy does a little corsage for the girls. You know, there's Hal Folk does all the photography. You get a photo with the dad and the daughter together. So it's just all about creating an experience for the dad and the daughter on that particular evening.
And there's always room for those in the room to have fun as a group as well.
But there are some dads that kind of mingle at a table together, and then the daughters will find friends, and then they'll run around for an hour and a half.
The annual Jamie McKibben Daddy-Daughter Dance is happening 6 to 8 today and tomorrow. Jackson College Board of Trustees has selected new leadership and appointed a new member. Donna Lake will serve as the new chairperson. Lake is a retired Jackson Public Schools teacher and a Jackson College alum. She steps into the role after longtime trustee and former chair Sheila Patterson resigned in late January for personal reasons after nearly 20 years of service. The board appointed George Page of Page Engineering to complete Patterson's remaining term. He has previously served on the Jackson College Foundation Board. Trustee Matt Hines was elected vice chairman. He is former Jackson Police Director and also a Jackson College graduate. Trustees meet the second Monday of each month at the Potter Center. In Jackson, earlier this year, more than 1,000 residents helped shape the new Drive Jackson 20-year strategic vision plan through surveys, pop-up events, and community conversations. Now that the plan has officially launched, community members are invited to learn what's next. Drive Jackson is hosting a series of informal community coffee hours across Jackson County. The open house events will offer a brief overview of the finalized plan, outlined early implementation priorities, and give residents a chance to ask questions and share ideas. Coffee hours are set for today at Callahan's Coffee Cafe in Brooklyn, Monday morning at Lean Rocket Lab in Jackson, and Tuesday at Vito's Espresso in Spring Arbor. Full plan available online at drivejacksoncounty.com. A lawsuit filed in mid-Michigan over a pool party where a young teen drowned. Michigan News Network's Jay Dennis.
Last summer, flyers went up around the Saginaw area promising a good time, a pool party with booze, food, and even swimsuit and twerking contests. But a new lawsuit says that flyer attracted plenty of underage guests to drink and smoke by the poolside, and one of those kids tragically died in the cloudy waters of the untreated pool. 15-year-old Timmy Favorite Jr.'s parents say the blame for the teen's death lies with the adult woman who threw that party, 52-year-old Trisha Alcock. They say there were practically no safety measures in place, certainly no way to prevent teens from partying alongside adults in the woman's backyard. This new lawsuit was brought about by Favorite's parents after Saginaw County prosecutors declined to press any criminal charges back in the fall. Jay Dennis for the Michigan News Network.
One in three teens across the U.S. face some form of abuse from a romantic partner. That's according to the CDC. Experts say that number maybe even higher because many suffer in silence. February is Teen Dating Violence Awareness Month. Prevention Education Manager with Haven, Olivia Ray Leonard, explained many problematic relationships begin when one partner consistently tries to obtain power.
Where it crosses into an abusive relationship is where one person in the relationship tends to have all of the control. They're making all the choices in the relationship. They're deciding things for both people, and one partner may not have any say in what goes on in their relationship.
She says it may not be easy to know which relationships will become abusive, but there are common warning signs.
A disregard or pressure around a partner's boundaries, especially with young people. So this could be ignoring a partner's preference around dates or maybe even sexual boundary pushing. Another really early warning sign we often see is isolation. So partners who might try to create problems with their partner's friends or family.
Ray Leonard said, if your child confides in you about abuse, believe them. She recommended entering the conversation gently and reminding your child that they are worthy of love and respect. Oakland University is considering plans to house an AI data center on its campus. University released a statement stressing that plans have not been finalized. The proposed center would be built on the site of a parking lot at the northern end of the campus and would be accompanied by an AI research institute. The data center would be different from the facilities that have caused so much controversy across the state in recent months. University is considering a 26-megawatt edge-type data center, significantly smaller than the sprawling hyperscale data centers. Majority of Michigan voters say they support a new package of bills designed to severely limit federal immigration enforcement in the state. According to a new ACLU poll, 70% of voters support Senate Bill 508, which would designate schools, hospitals, and other sensitive areas as immigration enforcement free zones unless agents have a judicial warrant. Voters also strongly favor two other bills, one that would restrict local governments from sharing private data with ICE, and another that would ban an on-duty law enforcement from wearing face coverings that hide their identity. If you could invent a brand new tax, who would you target? That's the question a new survey posed to more than 3,000 adults. And here in Michigan, the answers are very clear. According to the productivity app PDF-expert.com, the number one new penalty Michiganders want to see in 2026 is a billionaire tax. Respondents say extreme wealth should contribute more to revitalizing communities and fixing local infrastructure. Coming in at number two is a price gouging tax. After dealing with supply shortages and winter storms, residents say they want to penalize companies that treat emergencies as profit opportunities. Team USA Women's Hockey picked up gold because of a Michigan native.
Our city is over the moon.
That's Farmington Hills Mayor Teresa Rich talking about Megan Keller went to North Farmington and now has an Olympic gold medal to boast after a game winner in OT against Team Canada.
One of the things that's really special about Megan is she talks very openly about having grown up learning how to skate at our Farmington Hills ice arena.
Governor Gretchen Whitmer was there too.
Congrats on the gold, Team USA! Megan Keller scores a winning goal.
Jeremy Otto, Michigan News Network.
It's Friday, and it's the 20th day of February, and today we celebrate National Handcuff Day. So I don't know if you celebrate that as a member of law enforcement or if you there are other ways that you could celebrate. I'm just thinking out loud here. It's Clean Out the Bookcase Day. It's Love Your Pet Day. Oh, there's a lot in the daily household to go around. It's also National Cherry Pie Day, National Student Volunteer Day. It's World Day of Social Justice, and it's National Comfy Day. It was on this date in 1792, President George Washington signed an act creating the U.S. Post Office. It was on this date in 1895, abolitionist and author Frederick Douglass died in Washington, D.C. It was on this date in 1962, John Glenn made space history when he became the first American to orbit the Earth while aboard the Friendship 7 Mercury capsule. It was on this date in 1965, the Ranger 8 spacecraft crashed on the moon after sending back thousands of pictures of the lunar surface. It was on this date in 1997, Ben and Jerry's introduced an ice cream called Fish Food, spelled with a PH, Fish Food, named after the rock group Fish. It was on this date in 1998, 15-year-old American Tara Lipinski became the youngest gold medalist in Winter Olympics history after she won the ladies' figure skating title at Nagano, Japan. It was on this date in 2002, a train traveling from Cairo to Egypt caught fire, killing 360 people. It was on this date in 2013, the smallest planet, extrasolar planet Kepler-37b, was discovered. I don't think it was an M-class. It was on this date in 2016, Hillary Clinton won the Nevada Democratic presidential primary, while Donald Trump won the South Carolina Republican presidential primary. And it was on this date in 2023, U.S. President Joe Biden made a surprise visit to Kyiv, Ukraine. Birthdays today include Jack Fallahy, 37, actor, How to Get Away with Murder. You also have Miles Teller is 39, actor, Whiplash, Top Gun Maverick. Trevor Noah, comic from The Daily Show, 42 today. Chelsea Peretti, 48, comic, actress, Brooklyn Nine-Nine. Jay Hernandez from Crazy Beautiful, Hostel, Magnum P.I., Jay Hernandez is 48 today. Boy, Hostel is some pretty disturbing stuff. I'm just saying. Lily Taylor is 59, actress from High Fidelity and The Haunting. Andrew Hsu from Melrose Place, 59 today. Cindy Crawford is 60 today.
Is that a great new Pepsi can or what?
Introducing a whole new way to look at Pepsi and Diet Pepsi.
It's beautiful.
Hey, I know, it's more of a visual, I get it, but in 1992, there are a lot of kids who are buying Pepsi because of that Cindy Crawford Pepsi commercial. Charles Barkley, yeah, it's terrible that he's getting older. He's 63 today. Anthony Stewart Head, 72, actor Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Peter Strauss, rich man, poor man, 79 today. Sandy Duncan, from the Hogan family, she also played Peter Pan. Sandy Duncan is 80 today. And Sidney Poitier would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2022. Other birthdays today include Olivia Rodrigo. She's a singer. She also says dumb things at the Grammys. She's 23 today. Rihanna is 38 today. Kathy Bailey is 75 today. Country singer from Bailey and the Boys. Here's a little bit of a throwback for you.
You can call me crazy. I don't care. The odds are bad, but the chance is there.
A long shot of love is better than no shot.
Now, Kurt Cobain would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 1994. From the Jay Giles Band, Jay Giles would have had a birthday today. He passed away in 2017. For more local stories, breaking news, and interviews with Jackson's newsmakers, visit us online at WKHM.com. I'm Mark Daly.
Say a little prayer that my luck runs good. I'm gonna get to you. I hope I get to stay. And even if you break my heart in two, I'm going to broke. That's all I can do. I'm gonna get to you before you get away.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson on WKHM, Jackson's News Talk 970 AM and 101.5 FM.
Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center. If you're listening to this right now, it's possible. And I tell you, that morning group that goes every Monday, Wednesday, Friday at 6 a.m., That's a good group. I love our group in the afternoon at 4:30, but I started with that group at 6 o'clock just a few years ago, and I miss those guys. They're a lot of fun. So join that morning class, 6 a.m., Monday, Wednesday, Friday at Kettlebell Hotspot. It's where your functional fitness begins, improving your strength, your balance, and your mobility wherever you are in your physical fitness journey. They have a spot for you. Kettlebell Hotspot, 7851 Spring Arbor Road, on Facebook and online at kettlebellhotspot.com. And let's go ahead and start off with your sports. And it was the goal in overtime heard round the world for Olympic gold for the women's hockey team.
Can she do it again? Keller alone. Through two. A chance to the back end. She scores! Megan Keller, the golden goal for USA.
United States captured the 2026 Winter Olympic women's hockey gold medal last night, rallying past Canada 2-1 in overtime. Canada grabbed a 1-0 lead in the second period on a shorthanded goal from Kristen O'Neill and held that edge late into the third. But with just 2:04 left in regulation, Hillary Knight tipped in the equalizer to force overtime and in the process set the all-time U.S. Olympic record for career goals and total points. Then, in 3-on-3 overtime, Megan Keller intercepted a pass, raced in alone, and buried the backhand winner 4:07 into OT. It's the third Olympic gold for the U.S. women, adding to titles in 98 and in 2018. U.S. women Olympic gold for the hockey squad from last night. Pistons also got back into action yesterday as they returned in style last night, sweeping the New York basketball Knicks on the season. third straight game. It was a 126-111 win at Madison Square Garden. It was Cade Cunningham's night at the mecca of basketball. As a Pistons star, did something only three players in NBA history have done. Cunningham had an MVP caliber performance, 42 points, 13 boards, 8 assists, as he was virtually unguardable last night. And he joins LeBron James, Allen Iverson as the only visiting players in Knicks franchise history to have 40 points, 10 boards at the Garden. LeBron was the last one to do it, and that was all the way back in 2009. Three Pistons players scored in double figures last night, led by Paul Reed, who had 18 points, 7 boards, filling in yet again for Jalen Duren and Isaiah Stewart. You know what? We've got highlights. Let's run to it for you right now. Highlights for Detroit basketball. This isn't a glitchy issue. This is the sheets are sticking together issue. All right. Let's go to Ashur Thompson. He feeds Cade. This is in the first, and the Pistons playing a little bit of catch-up here. It's 10-13.
Sar Thompson now with it, guarded by Landry Shamet. Oh, what a crossover. Drops it underneath the Cade. Pump fakes Towns and puts it up and in.
What a pass and what a shake.
13-10 Knicks. We got a heck of a game going here.
Cade feeds Reed for a dunk. 34-30 in the second.
Cade up top. Iwara on him down the lane. Oh, what a pass. And Reed with a dunk.
That Cade makes some good pocket passes.
Man. 34-30.
And then we head to a little later on the second. Cade gets nice little fadeaway. And the Pistons ahead, 53-48.
Cunningham on the top side dribble. Crosses over to the free throw line. Pump fakes Brunson and hits.
No problem.
53-48. What a show.
Cade might have to get 50 tonight.
Mahorn will reference that a couple more times. Robinson gets a three, 68-60. This is in the third.
Knicks on the push. Ananobi for three. No. Rebound Harris. Tobias doing a good job of the boards. Pass ahead by Thompson. Nice save, Cade. Right corner, Robinson. Whop. And it's another three. Mm-hmm. This time in front of the Knicks bench. 68-60.
A little step back for Cade. 83-72 at the third.
Cade steps it back. Left wing shot. Good.
Don't play with him. Like Cade to get 50 tonight.
I mean,
I'm waiting for him to get the 50 piece.
Yeah,
you talk about a Broadway play. 83-72 Detroit.
Talk about a Broadway play. That's when you needed to revert back to the old Johnny Carson when Ed McMahon would go. Oh. All right. LeVert gets a three. We're in the fourth now. Pistons are up 102-85.
LeVert up the right sideline. Got a bump from Brunson who's come back. LeVert fires and hits a three. Mm-hmm. I mean,
as I say, good night right now.
102-85 Detroit. Everybody chipping in, as Rick said.
112-97 after this Cade triple in the fourth.
Crossover Cade, step back three is good.
And he's looking at Sohan, telling him, what you going to do, son? What you doing, son?
We are seeing a special player in this building. 112-97.
And then the final call.
Got it in the Cade's hands. And the Pistons are going to sweep the New York Knicks. Knicks fans are not happy.
Don't care.
This Piston team had the New York Knicks circled when this season began. I guarantee you that.
Reference to the postseason.
They finished the job. Wow. Impressive. 126-111. Cade Cunningham, 42 points, 13 assists. And 8 rebounds at 5 triples.
That was a reference to the Knicks knocking the Pistons out in the postseason last year in what was a pretty chippy series. The win completed a 3-game season sweep of New York in which the Pistons won those games by a combined 84 points. The Pistons take on Dub Bulls on the road on Sunday. Jalen Duren returns for that game. Stu still serving his suspension. Elsewhere from the NBA, the Cavs beat the Nets 112-84. Wizards getting a win over the Pacers, 112 to 105. Hawks on top of the 76ers, 117 to 107. Rockets beat the Hornets, 105 to 101. Raptors getting a win over the Bulls, 110 to 101. Spurs beating the Suns, 121 to 94. Magic on top of the Kings, 131 to 94. Celtics beating the Warriors, 121 to 110. And the Clippers squeaking by and just barely getting the win over Connor Dockery's Denver Basketball Nuggets, 115 to 114 yesterday. On to high school basketball. We're going to start off here in the Big 8 as Springport, your Big 8 conference champs, as they took down Reading last night, 73 to 48. You also had Bronson on top of Union City, 62 to 48. Concord beat the Valley, 66 to 45, and Stockbridge on top of Quincy, 54 to 45. Cascades Conference boys basketball. Last night, it was Lenawee Christian getting the win over Hanover Horton, 70 to 67. Homer on top of Clinton, 62 to 48. Madison getting the Jonesville win, 46 to 39. Oh, I do have info here somewhere. There it is. I just want to make sure I didn't miss it. I don't know how it got buried. It just did. All right, Michigan Center losing to Lansing Eastern 75-69 last night. It was Pinckney on top of Grass Lake 79-50. Weberville beating Leslie 70-62. And Williamston on top of Columbia 64-48 last night. For Columbia, it was Elias Losey with 8 points. Dylan Penix with 7. Connor Renfro had 6. Grayson Scheel, 6. David Monroe with 6. Williamson's, I don't have a first name, but Kuleza put up 25 points for the Williamston, whatever the heck they are, last night. So that was out of the Cascades Conference from yesterday. On to boys basketball. Let's stick with it. Let's go to the Catholic High School League, where Lumen Christi is in action tonight. The Titans will be hosting Ann Arbor Pioneer. That is a 7:30 tip time over there on Spring Arbor Road. Interstate 8 basketball. Today you've got Berrien Springs at Battle Creek Penfield, Coldwater at Hastings, Western at Northwest trying to spoil the Mounties senior night tonight. That's at 7 o'clock, 6:45 for our broadcast here on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. Harper Creek is at Marshall. That contest set 7 o'clock. Boys basketball from the White, SEC White, Blissfield. Let's see, Adrian beating Blissfield 79-70. Detroit Country Day squeaking by Jackson 67-64. It was a 76-50 win for Pinckney over Grass Lake. Ypsilanti Community beat Saline 57-50. Tonight, Dexter's at Chelsea. That's at 7. Big 8 girls basketball tonight. It's Concord at Springport at 7, Bronson at Stockbridge, Quincy at Union City, and Reading at the Valley, 7 o'clock, tip times across the board. Cascades Conference girls basketball, Grass Lake beat Leslie last night 65-10. In the crossover today, you've got their crossover action happening today. Yeah, we'll have to get that detail for you a little bit later on as time allows for us. Because the MHSAA site just has a bunch of TBAs all listed there. Lumen Christi basketball, they're in action tonight as they will take on Detroit Country Day. That is a 6 o'clock tip time. That one over at Spring Arbor Road also. Interstate 8 basketball, where you've got Coldwater at Hastings tonight, 5:30. Western at Northwest at 5:30. And Harper Creek at Marshall, 5:30 tonight. In the White, girls basketball in the White. You know what? We don't have any action in the White. Let's go to the SCAA, where last night it was Jackson Christian beating Camden Frontier, spoiling their senior night 66-20. And Jackson Christian back at it tonight. They've got a make good game against Colon. That's going to be at 7:30 tonight, tip time. Big Ten basketball, as again, both of our teams in action this weekend. Tomorrow, U of M on the road in Washington, they're going to be taking on Duke. MSU on the road, they take on the Ohio State University on Sunday. Let's take a look. Yesterday from the Big Ten, not any. We didn't have any action in the Big Ten yesterday, but today you've got Purdue hosting Indiana. Minnesota takes on Rutgers. Tomorrow, Nebraska will host Penn State. Maryland will host Washington. USC will host Oregon. And UCLA will host Illinois. When you take a look at that Michigan, top-ranked Michigan basketball Wolverine, 5-1 on the season. The Duke Blue Devils, third-ranked, 4-2 on the season. And taking a look at the spread on this, Michigan, 2.5-point favorites. The spread on this, Duke at 51.2% chance of winning when you look at the predictors. So Michigan has, it's too close to call. That's what you hear election night coverage all the time. That one, too close to call, but it's going to be one heck of a contest. The Ohio State University, they're 9-6 in the Big Ten. 15th ranked Spartans, they are 11-4 in Big Ten play. Matchup predictor 78.5% in favor of the Spartans. Again, that contest Sunday at noon, 1 o'clock tip time. We've got it for you on Fox Sports 101.9 FM. Jets basketball, they have their second-to-last game of the regular season. It's sophomore day for Schoolcraft College. The Lady Jets on the road, 1 o'clock for the tip time at Schoolcraft. The men trying to end the season on a positive note, which is just when you only have racked up 2 wins, it is a long, miserable season. So they're trying to end this one on a high note. Their tip time scheduled for 3 o'clock at Schoolcraft. Both teams wrap it up at home, friendly confines of the Vic Cuis against Macomb Community College on Tuesday. Hey, let's wrap things up real quick with some more high school sports. Division II at Tecumseh. This is bowling. Northwest, they got their ticket rolling 3,346 series. Western placed 9th, and Jackson finished 12th. That was D2 in bowling. Mounties head to Century Bowl in Waterford for the state finals next Friday. Division III, Royal Scott Lanes Lansing. Grass Lakes, Hunter Thomas just missed qualifying in 8th. D4, Jack 60 and Jackson, Anthony Wetzel of Lumen tied for 2nd. Vandy's Brewer Geiske grabbed the final qualifying spot in 7th. Girls side, D4, Napoleon's Jada Gallagher captured the regional title, while multiple local bowlers advanced. And in D4, Jack 60, Allison Wheeler of Lumen won the regional crown, leading 4 Jackson County bowlers onto the state finals. Bowling regionals, D2 at Tecumseh, 10-pin alley, Friday for individuals. We're going to have athletes there from Jackson, from Northwest, from Western, all competing in that large field. D4 at Jack 60 today. This is a team event going to feature Hanover Horton, Jonesville, among a long list of other schools. That's a look at your sports on AM Jackson at 6:54. Sports brought to you by Kettlebell Hotspot Sport and Fitness Center.
Welcome to Kettlebell.
You're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast with your host, Mark Daly.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
At 7:35, 25 minutes now in front of 8 o'clock, and we go to our newsmaker line. We welcome back to the program State Representative Kathy Schmaltz. Kathy, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
I am doing so well. Good morning, and welcome back to the show. I've missed you.
Oh, I always miss you, too. So, and yeah, Verlander's back. How about that?
I know we haven't had a chance to talk baseball. We've got the Tigers versus the Stankies tomorrow. Verlander's back. They spent some money. So we've got a very optimistic feeling about the season this year.
And it's felt like baseball the last few days. So, yeah, can't wait.
Yeah, we're looking forward to it. And any time the Tigers can get one over the Stankies is a good day. So we're looking forward to that tomorrow.
Oh, no kidding.
Yeah.
No kidding.
Well, I just for our listeners' sake, I want to let them know that we're going to be talking about some Michigan Theater stuff because you're on the Michigan Theater Board. We're going to talk about that towards the end of our segment here. But what we have you back. Let's get caught up on some of the stuff that's been happening at the state level. And the budget from the governor was pushed out recently, and there's been some talk in Lansing. I know we had Matt Hall in with our news earlier today talking about tax cuts and wanting to be fiscally responsible with the budget. I guess with that budget being put out, what's kind of like your thought process here on what you saw from the governor, Kathy?
Well, of course, the State of the State is next week. And by the way, I'm bringing a student from Jackson High School and Lumen Christi High School with me on the floor to listen to her speech. So they're pretty excited about that. Cool. The budget, we'll get all the details there, too. Some of that is, what is it, $88.1 billion, an unbelievably high number. Last year was, what, $82 billion. The spending just gets more and more out of control. Of course, we in the Republican caucus don't want any tax cuts. People are already having trouble affording at life, and we're looking at cutting property taxes and other taxes for people to help them, just afford things. The governor has proposed tax increases and some other things that we do not approve of. She does put a lot of money into literacy, which is really important. Obviously, with our education system 44th in the nation, we have to change things and help our kids learn to read. I have a dyslexia bill to help our dyslexia kids. So anything we can do to help our kids learn and read is so important. So I love her literacy money. Of course, we're going to go over all the details, and we'll talk about more about that when after a State of the State.
It's a long process. And it's something we talk about at length here, but it's important. And I know our listeners, a vast majority of our listeners do appreciate the fiscally conservative approach that the House is taking. But now with that said, in the budget, State Representative Kathy Schmaltz joining us, there is opportunities here to bring back some money to Jackson County. That's certainly going to be worthwhile. Tell us about, let's talk about some other things, but talk about the Jackson County Airport, because we just had Steve on not too long ago talking about that.
I put on, as you know, it's a very transparent process now. Everything has to be put online if you want something for your district, and it has to be posted before the deadline. Then you have to come in and testify before the House Appropriations Subcommittee on Labor and Economic Opportunity, and testimony did start this week. I have talked to many organizations in this county and Washtenaw County, and I've put in quite a few requests. Obviously, we're not going to get all of them, but we are, working on testifying for all of these requests. So the first you talked about is really exciting. It's for the Jackson County Airport, $300,000 to train high school students and others for a career in aviation maintenance and technicians. It would be a school. So the school would offer tuition-free training to 11th and 12th graders. The money requested would go to buy all the equipment needed for the trade school to meet federal requirements. So recent high school graduates and adult learners would also be able to enroll, but at a reduced cost. Mm-hmm. So Jackson County Airport Manager Juan Zapato testified with me. He did a great job. Students would be able to work on aircraft engines, welding, electrical work, and more. We need aircraft maintenance technicians so badly. The Federal Aviation Administration projects a shortage of up to 25,000 by 2028. And this program is expected to start in 2027, so it's really exciting. I really like this a lot. I think it's a great opportunity.
Shop rats. When I was with United Way, we had a chance to kind of work. There wasn't any funding from United Way to shop rats, but we had a chance to kind of work alongside each other on a couple different things. And shop rats is certainly a great organization here in Jackson.
That's right. It's critically needed organization to help fill the gap we have for skilled trade workers, as we know. Mm-hmm. ShopRats Foundation offers training to students and young people. We're asking for $200,000. It's a one-time ask to complete the Advanced Manufacturing Training Center in Jackson. It would be used to purchase machinery, train students in automotive, biomedical, aerospace, other industries, all who are in need of workers. And obviously the community has always stepped up to support the ShopRat Foundation. This funding would help complete the center and Executive Director Kaylee Burr-Coughlin testified with me, and she did a great job, too.
Now, Save Our Youth, Help Them Prosper. Is this a Thomas Burke thing?
Yes, it is.
Okay. Oh, I haven't seen Thomas in a long time.
Oh, yeah. I talk to Thomas all the time. It's his organization. He works with at-risk young people. He requested $200,000 for Save Our Youth Mentorship and Workforce Program. So these young people between the ages of 14 and 17 are placed in different businesses. I've talked to some of them at the Michigan Military Heritage Museum, and it's just great. They have supervised work mentors. They learn job skills. It just helps them on a career path. The youth would be compensated working up to about 10 hours a week. So Save Our Youth, as we know, has been around for a long time. Thomas does a great job. He was there testifying before me, and his story is also very inspiring to hear how where he worked in prison and how he worked with these kids, and he thought there was a better path for them, and so he started Save Our Youth.
Yeah, I've been in this air chair for well over a year now. I have not had Thomas on the air yet. I'm going to have to make that happen.
It was so great because I love his story and how he got started. And, you need to have him on.
For sure. All right, so let's talk about you got a house apprenticeship program for National Guard Service. Tell us about this.
Yeah, this is a great program, too. The legislation is to help our Michigan Army National Guard and Air National Guard. So many of them can face difficulties finding a job or career after they leave the service. So this bill creates an apprenticeship program to assist them when they transition back to civilian life. The training and experience they get in the Guard would count towards certain apprenticeship certifications. Let's say you work as a mechanic. Those skills would count in the civilian world, helping provide the service members with career advancement quicker. So all the job skills they learned by serving the state through this program will help them enter the workforce with an apprenticeship certificate. And it's all cost-free.
One of the things that we've talked about quite a bit lately with Representative Sarah Leitner has been fertility fraud, and she's been talking about this package of bills and really how there's been a lack of laws and legality responsibility here in going after some bad actors. So what happened with this set of legislation?
That's right. Representative John Roth, he's from Traverse City area. Mm-hmm. He's been trying to get these through for a long time. It's about, four or five bills in this package. They testified before my committee. We got it out of there, and we passed it on the House floor yesterday. We talked about this before. This is a package of bills about donor fraud in assisted reproduction, fertility fraud, like you said. The bills establish civil and criminal liability for those who falsely represent information related to assisted reproduction. So this occurs when doctors inseminate women with their own sperm during fertility treatments or a doctor who falsely represents themselves. There's no laws on the books right now, as you said. So currently, any donor, we don't have to know anything about their history, educational background, criminal, and laws. There are no laws to prevent this. There was one case. There was, he inseminated 100 women who thought they were getting donor sperm from someplace else.
Yeah.
So this is just to protect people trying to get help to have a baby, and we just want to make sure there's some laws on the books to prevent this donor fraud.
Okay. And finally here, as we have State Representative Kathy Schmaltz joining us this morning on AM Jackson, House passed a couple bills in regards to mandatory reporter or child or elder abuse or neglect. Tell us about this.
Yes, these bills went through my committee too, families and veterans, and then we passed it on the House floor yesterday. When Child Protective Services is looking into a possible abuse case, these mental health professionals have 14 days to turn over all the records, any information regarding those involved in the case. Well, this bill would change that timeline to 7 days. So instead of 14, they have to have it in 7 days. The second bill in the package requires mandated reporters. These are people who report the abuse to receive more training. So they would have to complete training once every 3 years to help them better recognize abuse and neglect and what's required of them. Mm-hmm. And these are people like nurses, doctors, social workers, those who have contact with the child in this way.
All right. Very good. So it seems like a very productive week in Lansing.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, we're hopefully going to get more done this week and trying to get as many bills passed as we can. Good bills.
Right.
Of course, it's not the amount of bills. It's the quality of the bills. So, yes, we did good this week.
Well said. Well said. All right, let's pivot a little bit in the time that we have left with State Representative Kathy Schmaltz, because you're also on the board with the Michigan Theater. Now, I've just been kind of seeing and observing some things on Facebook. There was supposed to be an annual meeting that was supposed to take place this Wednesday, but that pivoted to something else, right?
Yes. this has been exasperating. I just want to tell you. The bottom line with all this is the Michigan Theater is a very important part of this community, mm-hmm. and we will not let anybody hurt this theater in any way. And we are working behind the scenes to make sure that we rectify the situation. There was a meeting. We will have a meeting. There has to be an annual meeting. It's open to the public.
Yeah.
Membership all should come and tell the board how they feel about this. I have not been able to attend certain meetings because of different circumstances. And, of course, when I'm in Lansing, I sometimes don't make the meetings.
Right.
But I talk to these people, and I've told them in the fall to not do or take the actions that they plan to take.
Yeah.
So I have a real problem. There's two of us on the board who are against the rest of them and do not agree with what they're doing. There are some people who I don't understand. I have never worked with people who I can't tell you. I've never been on a board with people who I feel are incompetent. And these are my friends, so I hate to say that, mm-hmm. but these actions were just not right. So we are working behind the scenes. There was a meeting Wednesday with donors. Donors were not happy about this, and I don't blame them. And we are working, like I said, behind the scenes to rectify the situation. I'm talking with business leaders, companies, different people in the area to help rectify all this.
Right. One of the things that I'm not liking, and again, you're going to be hard-pressed to find anybody in this community who is going to agree with that decision. Most of what you're going to see, like on social media, is you're going to want Steve Tucker back.
Right.
But what I don't like seeing, and I talked about this with John Waldron when he was in yesterday, and if you could expand on this a little bit, I'd appreciate it. What I don't like seeing is the call for people to boycott the theater, is the call out there to not attend this, that, or the other thing that the theater has going on. I've never been, kind of like Sean Hannity, I've never been a strong supporter of boycotts. And I don't think this situation calls for boycotting the theater, because the theater, Representative Schmaltz, is really bigger than any one person, any one group, any one donor, any one board, or anything. The theater is a meeting place for this community, and it's bigger than that. I don't like seeing the calls. And I love Steve Tucker. He is a great man. He's always been accessible to us. He's a great supporter of the community. But I don't feel like boycotting is the right answer here. What do you say?
Well, of course, I don't like boycotts either, mm-hmm. but I totally understand the reasoning for this. When you have some mm-hmm. people who are trying to take over this theater and, in my eyes, destroy what we have built, especially mm-hmm. after a major capital campaign that myself, Steve, and the community worked on, which none of them helped with, by the way. You can't let these people do this to the theater. It's too important to us. I can understand the reason why you don't believe in what's happening and you don't support what's happening and you're not sure what they're going to do mm-hmm. with what you donate. I totally get that. And if they want to wait until we rectify it, I can totally understand that. We will not let this theater go down. We will make sure that this theater is run by competent people. I do talk to Steve all the time. I don't like any accusations. I don't like any things that are flying around that are not substantiated. And I just think none of this had to happen, which I told the board in the fall. Decided to go ahead and do with what they thought that we find ourselves in this situation. But like I said, I'm talking to business leaders, donors, different people in the community, and we'll fix the situation.
Okay. All right. One more question, Kathy. When it comes to the theater, and again, as being a member of the board, I completely understand if these are questions that you can't answer. I totally get it. Is there like an active investigation going on? Is there any, is there anything going on that you know, would really lead to him being let go?
No, there wasn't. But I wouldn't put it past them now to try and find something.
Okay. All right.
But there was nothing. There was nothing when they took this action.
All right. Okay. Well, that answers that.
And that's the truth.
Gotcha. Okay. Anything left untouched here, Representative Schmaltz, that we should be talking about?
Oh, there's always things left untouched, right? We could talk. I just find that situation very, it just didn't have to happen.
Right.
And the way it happened was totally ridiculous. And I told them in the fall, totally ridiculous. No reason to do anything like this. And I just can't wait till we get it all taken care of.
Was there one of the things I've talked about with my wife at home, and this is just speculation on my part, because there's a lot of unknowns, kind of like what was talked about on Wednesday. There's just a lot of unknowns there. And maybe you can kind of clear this up for me personally here. I'm just wondering if maybe there were some hurt feelings because there were people who did some work during the restoration or did some things during the restoration that weren't quite getting credit for it. And no. That might have led to hurt feelings and this happening. So that's a no?
Nope. But I will say there's I will say there could be feelings involved with a board member. Nothing to do with the restoration.
All right. Well, we'll continue to follow it. Yeah, we'll continue to follow it. All right, Kathy, as always, we appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us. You have a wonderful weekend, and we'll look forward to talking with you again soon.
You too, Mark. And what do we got tonight? Chocolate Sensation Dahlem Center?
Oh, yeah, that's
on.
Right.
And then,
yeah.
And then Family Service Children's Aid Hollywood Stars, what date is it? Saturday. So
that's right.
Going on this weekend.
So the Kathy clones are going to be out and about. I called over to the Dahlem Center a couple times. I even talked to their fund development person. I could not get anybody on the air to talk about that.
Oh, yeah.
Stop
by. Have some chocolate.
All right, Kathy. Hey, thanks again for the time. We'll talk with you soon.
All right, thanks, Mark. Bye-bye.
State Representative Kathy Schmaltz joining us here on AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM.
I'm Mark Daly, and you're listening to the AM Jackson Podcast.
Back to AM Jackson, live from the County National Bank Studio.
Yeah, it's 8:36, and we head to our newsmaker line, and we welcome back to the program Tom Knutson with the Friday Knutson's Outdoor Report. Tom, hey, good morning.
Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Man, I'm doing so well, and things well in Tom's world?
Not too bad.
Yeah.
Not too bad. I mean, I wish we hadn't had that kind of weather over the last 5-6 days, but it is what it is, right?
Well, yeah. You know, Jamie used to say that all the time. It is what it is. Maybe he picked that up from you. I don't know. But, it is what it is. But I did see people walking on the ice yesterday. I didn't see any shanties set up, but I did see people out walking on the ice. It was pretty thick before we got that warm-up. So we had a lot of ice out there.
It's still pretty thick, Mark.
Okay.
Areas that were questionable before are still questionable now.
Mm-hmm.
I'll just make this statement. You haven't heard me talk about going ice fishing.
Right.
I've been three times since Saturday. Saturday, Tuesday, and Wednesday I went. And we've had this conversation before. Yeah. There's all these people who will rush out to get out there in 2 to 3 inches, but where are they when there's 10 inches? And it's the 60-degree mark, right, when you can fish without a coat. That's my kind of fishing, and that's what I did.
I was gonna say, if memory serves me correctly, usually wait until we have this.
Why do you want to be cold? It's ice fishing.
So, did you have any luck when you went out?
Saturday, nothing in volume, but I've caught some nice fish.
All right. Yeah, that seems to be how this season's gone.
It's been a tough year.
Yeah.
It's been a tough season. Everywhere you talk, it's in this area. But again, I watched Tapio's buddies on Saturday. I caught two nice crappies. One of them that was probably a pound and a half. And I watched Tapio's buddies who'd fished this spot all day that day. Both of them went off of the lake with a pound. With a limit of pound plus crappies.
Wow.
It's Yeah, it's good. I mean, you can find them. You got to work them. You got to know. You know, I mean, for me, who just stepped out on, you know, three 2-hour excursions,
mm-hmm.
Not likely to find, especially the two spots I went to. You know, they've been picked over all winter. I wasn't going across the lake. I just walked. So
okay, all right. But it's, yeah, again, like you said, a little slow, but good quality. Maybe not quantity, but good quality. And it's really about time out on the ice with friends and just enjoying it. You know, that's me. I've gone out once by myself. All the other times I've gone out with buddies and we just end up having a good time out on the ice, Tom.
Absolutely.
It's fun.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
You make what you make of it.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You know, I mean, that's what ice fishing is. And like I say, it's been solid. I got no complaints. I think that, we'll definitely, we should, you know, as long as this wind today doesn't open up some spots, we should be okay. We didn't really need that rain yesterday. I mean, the rain that wasn't supposed to happen, you know, because it was supposed to happen the day before. That didn't really happen. Then it happened yesterday. I think we'll be all right for the most part. You just got to use your spud again. It's, you know, there was so much ice there to start with. It takes a lot for it to go away. You know, and it's not raining today with the winds coming up, so we don't have the water on the ice to scour. I see that the temps are going to be falling throughout the day, not going up.
Yeah.
So I think we'll be all right. And I expect to see a few people venturing out again tomorrow.
This is
the fish are making a move. I fished on Vineyard Lake and the last two nights, and we fished it last year at the end and did quite well in one area, and everybody was complaining that they weren't catching fish, but they were all fishing in the place that had been picked off and whatever. And I went up into that area that I went a year ago, and those fish were starting to move up into there. So I expect that only to keep getting better. Sometimes when this water that's on top of the ice pours in the holes, that kind of throws a little oxygen, throws a little life to those fish.
Okay.
I expect to see some improvement in the fishing for those that are going out.
Okay. So when Tom is out in his setup, what's your gear setup like, Tom? How do you have your stuff set up to catch the fish, Tom?
Well, I was just using some small jigs and spikes. The places where I was fishing was shallow, where I could just look right down the hole. The water's just crystal clear.
Okay.
I was on top of a weed bed. So I was just bouncing from hole to hole looking for any, there's tons of little fish, just looking for some better keepers. As we go farther in, I expect that area to increase with the better size fish.
Okay.
And I picked up a couple crappie up high on plastic, so. I was just playing around. I didn't need to have a whole bucket of fish. I wasn't chasing that.
Right. So, how long do you give it before you kind of switch up your gear or you decide you're going to be switching to another spot?
Oh, I don't know.
Okay.
If I, like in the spot where I was at, because I was sight fishing it, and I didn't have to have a shelter, not very long, because if there's no fish there, there was holes everywhere, so it's like, okay, I'm just going to bounce from hole to hole until I found something that had a little better-looking fish. I mean, every hole had fish in it. It just didn't have the size I was looking for.
Gotcha. All right. Yep. People traveling right now, Tom? Are they going up north? Are they going out?
Yeah, a little bit, and I think we'll see a little more of that now. That's not uncommon this time of year, especially as the weather breaks a little bit. Tapio and his crew are out in Minnesota fishing possibly fishing the King of Panfish tournaments. I don't know. There's some contemplation that they may not fish it. It's on a lake called Big Stone.
Okay.
It's on the South Dakota-Minnesota border. Pound bluegills are common, and pound and a half crappies are the norm.
Wow.
But since they got there Tuesday night. They didn't even fish on Wednesday because the winds were so brutal. They fished yesterday for a while, and again, the winds were so brutal. They're up and at them this morning, going to try it again, but Tapio says it's the most intense weather he's ever tried to ice fish in.
Wow.
And he said the wind just relentless. It must be because of the way the lake sets. I don't know. But I told him to man up. You're there.
Right.
Enjoy it. And go make the best of it.
Well, so, yeah, because somebody's covering his duties back at Knudsen's. You know, he's using up. Sounds like he's using all his vacation day in the winter.
And my statement is, you know, I mean, he knows Minnesota. If they want to go somewhere else to fish, but the problem is no matter where they go, the same weather's going to exist.
Right.
So, you know, so that part's not going to help him any. So he knows where to fish in Minnesota. He's been there enough times. He knows that they can pull up and go somewhere else if they just want to go catch. But they'll stick it out. I'm sure they'll figure it out.
We've had the warmer temperatures here, but it feels like it's – I mean, I don't know. I haven't been, and I don't really pay attention to the forecast up north much. But has it been colder, or are they still –
I think they got a lot more rain than we got.
Okay.
If you take a look at how them storms tracked, and they kind of tracked more to the north.
Oh, right.
I think that they got a lot more rain. I can't even tell you about Saginaw Bay. I think that there's a thing called Airborne Angler, and he goes out and surveys the bay for fishermen and gives a report, on the shaky times.
Yeah.
And it sounded like he was going to go up this morning and see if everything was okay. If there's any big holes or anything, and now this wind coming could do some damage.
Right.
I mean, I don't know if anybody saw those pictures of Lake Superior earlier in the week, which had 21-foot waves smashing the shoreline. That lake was at one point 30% to 40% covered with ice, so that ice had to go somewhere.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
as far as that goes.
Yeah. All right. So. Okay, so I guess what's next, Tom? I did look out. I was in the kitchen here at McKibben Media Group yesterday, put my stuff in the microwave, letting it warm up. I turned my head to the right outside that door. Ginormous turkey. I know we're not too far off from turkey. I mean, it was huge.
Actually, that's kind of in my mind that we'll be doing a little adjusting on the ice fishing stuff and probably getting that stuff organized and out. So, yeah, we're going to probably start playing with that here very shortly.
All right. I mean, it was huge.
As far as that goes. And there's one other thing. If people are into bass fishing, which I know there's a lot of them in this area, check out the Bassmasters this weekend. Ryland Hamlin is fishing a Bassmaster Open. The winner is an automatic entrant into the Bassmaster Classic for 2027. Ryland put a 11-pound, 9-ounce bass in the bag yesterday afternoon.
Wow.
He is currently sitting third, top 10 fish tomorrow for a playoff. So he's got to have another good day, and there's a good possibility he'll be fishing for a chance to fish in the ultimate prize, the Bassmaster Classic.
Yeah. Ryland's just a good kid, good heart. He found his passion. And he's just a good, hard-working kid towards that. I mean, he's...
Towards that, absolutely. He's laser-focused on catching those fish.
Right.
But, yes, he popped an 11-pounder and said he lost one bigger.
Oh man.
Can you imagine?
Everybody who puts something in the water always has a story about the big one that got away.
Yeah, yeah. But if you lose one bigger than 11 pounds.
That's huge. That's huge. All right.
Yes, exactly.
All right. So, yeah, we'll follow that for sure. And I'm sure you and I will kind of have a follow-up to that conversation next week then.
Next week. Let's keep our fingers crossed. You know, let's hope he stays in the money anyway.
Yeah, yeah. Sounds good. We'll have to get him back on once he gets back in town, too.
Yep, absolutely.
So, all right, cool. All right, Tom, anything left untouched here that we need to talk about?
I think we covered most of it, Mark. Let's have a great Friday.
All right. You as well, Tom. Thanks for your time.
Yep. Be careful out there, everyone.
It's AM Jackson on News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM. That's Tom Knudsen. It's the Knudsen's Outdoor Report. Knudsen's, your outdoor convenience store, Wamplers Lake Road in Brooklyn.
This has been the AM Jackson Podcast. Tune in live weekday mornings from 6 until 10 at News Talk 970 AM, 101.5 FM, and online at WKHM.com.